birthday, Pete.
Kat, how are you?
It's been a while.
It has, that is for sure.
So a little birdie tells me you've been busy over summer and you've got a new gig.
Little birdie might be true.
Tell us about this amazing new role you're going to be taking on in 2026.
Yeah, well, it's pretty exciting to be fair. So, moving to the US, step one. But to lead how we think about shared services for ServiceNow in the new AI era we find ourselves. So how do we reinvent using the best platform across the greatest company in the AI era? Sounds like a lot of fun. So it was too good an opportunity to turn down. Super excited to be leaning into that problem for 2026.
That's a massive mission.
Yes, it is. But it feels like it's bringing all the things together that I've had throughout my career between technology, being in those defining moments, but it's still all about transformation. It's still all about people, as we've discussed time and time again.
So you've been in the role for a couple of months. What was step one? Obviously getting on a plane and flying 28 hours to...
It's not quite 28.
Feels like it.
When you come back, it's like 34, but yes. And I think step one has been is just get in and actually learn again. You know, I don't want to go in and make assumptions about what I believe or what I know. Yes, I've been with a company and it's been a real joy to talk about the Now on Now story, but I really wanted to understand it from the ground up this time and realize what were the opportunities to do things radically differently and how are we really thinking about sort of leapfrogging from where we are and what is this AI moment ahead of us that we're still trying to understand the blueprint for.
So who are your – talk us through key stakeholders. So obviously you're leading global business services and employee experience. What is your – that sounds like a broad stakeholder group.
Well, it is. You go from Chief People Officer and Jackie, Chief Financial Officer and Gina, our Chief Legal and Governance and Hussein. So
just a couple of important people.
Just a couple of people. And then, you add in comms and marketing group around there as well. So, the team I happily have the honor of being part of now, we are sitting there and driving, the ServiceNow Live activity in the background. We implemented the MoveWorks and with less than 20 days, we are involved in some of the biggest moments. And one of the big things that we're setting about as a team and making sure we have the fundamentals right is that we can have zero disruptions in those critical moments for our key stakeholders.
It did amaze me that, you go on leave, you hang out with your family, catch up with your friends, enjoy the summer in Australia. So maybe our friends in the Northern Hemisphere wouldn't understand that reference. However,
I get back-to-back summers now.
You do. But we come back from summer a couple of weeks later, and we've got an entirely new employee experience.
Yeah.
That was pretty exciting, I've got to say, logging in first time in January and seeing MoveWorks had been rolled out and suddenly we had this conversational interface where you could just get answers to questions so easily and zero user training, which I love.
Well, and I think that's in that a barrier to adoption. And I think there was just the willingness and certainly of our organization just to try. And the great thing I think is there'd been a lot of build-up. It'd been taking a while, the acquisition. It was quite a large acquisition. But I think a lot of people were waiting in anticipation. And so there was an eagerness to get out there and try and learn. But the actual conversational experience side is great. And what we see and what the opportunity coming forward out of that is super exciting. So wait for knowledge.
We talk a lot about just, Generation C, generation born not by age, but by expectation around digital experiences and, the whole I shouldn't have to learn how a computer works, a computer should learn how I work. I feel like the role you've taken on would sit well and truly in an example of big expectations from a highly digital AI-first workforce. How do you bridge that gap? How do you deliver on the expectations of a workforce that expects nothing less than the best?
Yeah, it's an interesting question to ponder. I think, I still think a lot of people are learning, the real capabilities of some of the tools that we have available. And so the great thing we have is we have access to a range of these different capabilities. And the biggest thing we're finding is actually just getting people to share their experiences and how they're doing things and so that we can actually see what that looks like in reality. And a big thing for myself and my leadership team is we have sort of two parts to it now is are we creating a human moment? Or is this an AI moment? And so if it's an AI moment, then what did we do to you and how did we use AI to create what we're doing? Because we have to really rethink how we've done work in the past in all different ways and facets. And so I think there's a real learning opportunity for everybody at the moment. And I'm doing a number of like skip level meetings across the organization. And it doesn't matter age or level in the organization. Everyone is staring into this as a bit of a unique moment in time and a bit of a uncertainty around it. But I think really everyone's really excited and embracing it. And then when they see something, they jump at it and they go, oh, wow, I did not realize. And that really piques their interest.
So you touched a little bit there around developing AI maturity of the organization, which I think a lot of organizations that we talk to are grappling with the same challenge. What are some of the things you've been using or some of the techniques you've been using to help people share the way they're using AI, how it's adding value to their work, the prompts that they have on their cheat list?
Yeah, it's we had a leadership offsite last week in Dallas and on the back of a two-day strategy session. And so as part of that, we ran an exercise with the leadership team actually using AI. The interesting thing was actually to play back what prompts did they use, how did they think about it, and the variation between everyone was staggering. And so we have at least one power user in our group. And what she was able to do in less than the 5 minutes in the task compared to a number of others was quite staggering. And so that little moment of sharing, and so I go back to when we were doing particular type of work, is it a human type work or is it an AI type work? And we've been really sort of clear about that moment when we're trying to create it. So, yeah.
And so that individual, what do you think is different about her that made her test, evolve, practice, learn, play? Is it that she had time to do that? Is it she made time to do that, or she just had an appetite to push the boundaries and see what AI could do for her?
I think she's a natural learner, but I think she's just highly curious and she's very interested to see what this technology can do. And so she's seen and she likes working with people, and so she owns a lot of the work that we do from my ServiceNow experience. And so I think she's very attuned to how do people take on this type of technology, and it makes herself want to know and not just accept it as it is. So yeah.
I love that you described someone who is an early adopter and pushing the boundaries of AI as being a people person. Because at the heart of it, It's not necessarily just the technologists that are pushing this technology. It's the people that actually have a mission to make life easier, yeah, make work easier for the rest of us.
And I think we still have the, it's still people behind the keyboards, still asking the questions, still driving the prompts, and still have that level of curiosity. And I think, you know, that's why I'm still attracted to the role that I am. Like, this is still a people transformation at heart. And what we're going to see and how we're going to operate is going to be radically different, but that's the excitement part of it.
So with such a broad remit and so many problems and opportunities you could go after, how do you prioritize?
It's fascinating at the moment. So we are resetting, I guess, the organizational's, you know, objectives for the year. I think the difference this year is we're going to go from a space of we've probably prioritized by product and feature to how do we think about a business unit? So how do we think more cross-functionally and look at value in real terms and sort of make those trade-offs in a different way than we've ever had to do before. But it means we're having to ask the organization a new question, which is to get better at understanding why and the what we're doing, all right, so we can get really clear about the impact we're about to have. Because that, I've never been in a place where there's, you know, not enough work and all the people I need. The reality is there's always more work and not enough capacity. And so we have to look at, and that's why I think the AI stuff gives us a new level of vehicle, is how can we actually deliver more than we've ever done in the past? But we're still going to have to prioritize that work and think about where the true impact of the organization is and where are the opportunities to jump from where we are to something much further down the path and set up the success for the future. So it is massively exciting.
It's interesting because we were literally sitting in an EBC with one of our favorite customers yesterday,
yes,
talking
we were
about this very thing. Correct. And I always come back to this whole concept of change fatigue, and, you know, we can encourage people to adopt and evolve and test, but as an organization that's driving a lot of change, both externally and internally, how are you approaching that with your teams to keep them enthused and passionate and not burning out?
Yeah, they had a pretty interesting response to that question, if you remember.
I think I lost my job, didn't I?
No, I don't think so. I go back to a bit of an age. I think it's been a thing for a long period of time, is though we just expect people to be able to pick up and understand the why. And if I think about the skip level meetings I'm doing, a lot of it is just helping people at all elements, all parts of the business understand their role and how they're connected to the outcomes of ServiceNow. So whether it's protecting the most critical moments and ensuring the business is operational when it needs to be, or you're involved in some of the biggest transformations, not just for us at ServiceNow, but what the impact on our customers be. But making that connection for people is what I find helps them inspire and go, right, I really understand my role in here and what I'm doing. And I think sometimes we're missing that. I think we've lost a little bit of that. And that's what we're really centered on from a human experience component at the moment. But I think the other part is, while there's all this change, we also have to remind people what's not changing. And so keeping the core of that and then driving that level of curiosity and helping people realize, hey, I'm just learning as much as everybody else, and that's okay. We shouldn't be frightened about what this is. We should see it as the real opportunity.
We had this amazing Locknote speaker at the summits that we've just run in.
Was that you?
No, Locknote.
Locknote.
No, the keynote speaker in Melbourne was awful. She was terrible. Get her off stage. No, Miley Wilkinson, who's a behavioral scientist, did the Locknote. I listened to her 3 times and I could not get enough. She was fabulous. But one of the things she talks about is the fact that people are not afraid of change. They're afraid of loss. And going through that process of reconciling the loss so that people understand, what is it that you think you're losing? Let's acknowledge that so that they can embrace change. Yeah. I just thought that was such an amazing piece of insight from a behavioral scientist that analyzes criminal masterminds. And here I am in the audience sitting there going, oh, I could use this on my colleagues.
I'm definitely no criminal mastermind. But I think the same principle is that your assumption as a person is when that there is a lot of change and ambiguity is that everything is changing versus going, actually, let's be really clear about what's not changing. So the gap to how much you're losing is not as big as you might fear it actually to be.
So you mentioned the magical word to anyone in the ServiceNow ecosystem, and that is knowledge 2026, which is coming up in Vegas.
Probably 8 weeks away or something.
It's really not far off. No. So for anyone listening that doesn't have tickets yet, go and register and
correct.
Get your airfare locked in before the fuel prices go up anymore. What can we expect? What exciting things are you going to be talking about? Because I know you're going to be on stage. I know you're going to be talking about our Now and Now story from a GBS and employee experience perspective.
Yep.
Any little sneak peeks?
Look, we've been centering for a while on the collapsing of the user experience in the portals as we know it. And I think we'll see some radical shifts in how that is in sort of like this conversational interface for the enterprise. And I think that's radically going to be very, very different. Clearly the autonomous worker and what that roadmap and path is going to be, but we'll really start to drive into the value and what are the foundations to make that successful. So I think you'll see something really different and quite inspiring and not the standard of what we've seen. You know, this will take us to be a platform that really covers the enterprise, not just IT.
So AI is the new UI and we're going to see it in action?
Absolutely. We'll see it in action live on the big stage.
That's exciting. And then probably the most important question I can ask you, Pete, because you and your lovely wife are going to be packing up and moving to the US. Are you fully prepared for drinking American coffee on a permanent basis? I'm concerned.
It's a real struggle. I really thought Piccolo was a universal drink because of coffee, but it's been a real battle. So we might have to find a way to start up an Australian coffee shop in the middle of Dallas somewhere.
I know there's some in New York and there's some on the West Coast.
Yeah. So it may not be a bad little side project.
I think the Texans would love a good old Piccolo.
No, I think so. They've just got to get drinking smaller amounts of coffee rather than really, really large cups of coffee. We'll be fine.
You could change the American coffee culture. I have faith.
You have faith.
Talking about change. I have faith.
Well, and when you talk about change though, but it's not just me. I'm hearing the same for you. Like it was a big summer for both of us really.
It was. What's the little happening? Birdies have been doing a lot of chirping, yeah, haven't they?
They're very busy little birdies. Yeah.
So I also have a new mission this year.
Man, what are you off to do?
I'm actually stepping back into one of my greatest passions, which is all around value. And you know this has always been a hot topic for me, even in the transformation office. But I am actually going to be leading the value-led transformation team for Australia and New Zealand, who are a group of absolute superstars, management consultants that are passionate about helping organizations understand which problems are worth solving in terms of business value, helping organizations put together justification to invest in technology and change and ways of working, and then helping measure value of the ServiceNow partnership. So really being the custodians of, you know, our customers being in the hero of their own story. And it's something that I'm super passionate about. I've got a team of people who are just so amazing. And I feel very blessed. And Pete Andrew, who's our new country leader, and his leadership team, I've just been so supportive and amazing. And let's be honest, anything that gets me in front of customers on a daily basis makes me happy. So
well done.
It's going to be a big year.
It is going to be a big year. Well, super exciting though. Well, and you plus you keynoted last week, the AI summit.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a win, Pete.
Come on. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, I don't know. Feedback it's a lot I've of heard. Fun though. I do.
And
I
you
do
enjoy it.
I do, but yeah. I love seeing our customers.
Correct.
I love. I mean, sometimes, you know, you can get bogged down in internal meetings and, you know, very important prep and strategy. Any chance I get to get out there and with our customers and just, you know, chat over coffee and take selfies in the foyer and all sorts of fun things.
Selfies always good. Hey, so when you're thinking about customers in this new role, like where do you think the gaps are that we have to do things differently? You know, adoption is critical. We know that for our customers. We want them to buy our product. We need them to adopt it. How are you going to shift how they think about value? Because and what does value really mean?
I don't think we need to shift thinking. I think we just need to bring focus back. Particularly over the last couple of years, all of the excitement around AI, everyone just rolled out a model, an agent, a co-pilot, and there was such a hype of excitement and activity that things just got done without full thought put into, is this agent going to deliver value? Are we solving a problem that actually needs to be fixed? And so a lot of what we're going to be doing is really bringing the focus back to what are the problems and opportunities that are going to fundamentally hit the top line and the bottom line. So either grow the business or take cost out and create capacity for scale.
Yeah.
And if those are the priorities for the organization, what are the use cases that are going to hit those quicker, faster? I think there's a lot of negativity around AI not delivering value. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that's true. I think AI, for the right reasons, delivers an immense amount of value. Yeah. We've just been distracted doing work for the sake of work. And so it's really about coming back to the prioritization and the focus on use cases that are going to deliver measurable value for the business and putting the rigor around measuring it so that at the end of it, the teams can stand up and go, hey, we did all this work and look at the amazing impact we had on our organization. Yeah. And that's not a ServiceNow thing. That's a, you know, customer X, hero of their own story. Yes, they used our technology and our platform and we lent in and offered our expertise to help. But they're the ones that are driving change and doing the real work. And we want to make sure that their organization knows what a great job they do.
Yeah. And look, I do think a big part in defining a use case, but is also being clear about how they think about measuring success and then giving them the potentially the benchmarks or the ways to think about it differently, or even our own experience about, because we've seen some great things and we've struggled with some other parts as well about, you know, you can put a formula together, but then realize it's not quite the impact of the way we thought it was going to be. So yeah,
I think it's okay that we've done things that didn't deliver value. The important thing is sitting back and going, okay, we did it, we learned, but now let's switch it off.
Correct.
Let's not continue to keep that piece of technology running because we know it's not delivering value for us.
Yeah.
Well, switch it off and invest elsewhere. And investment is not just money, it's time, focus, energy, change fatigue, right? All of that is an investment of human capital.
Yep.
Let's put it on the areas that actually make a difference.
Yeah, well, and I think this is where the control tower gives you that transparency into exactly what you're doing. And I think exactly what you were talking about last week down in Melbourne with everybody is, you know, that ability to see and understand what's happening in the organization and determine whether it is adding value. And if it's not, hey, sometimes we've got to make those decisions, but we need to have those governance guardrails around everything that's going on in the organization from an AI point of view.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a reckoning coming this year. I think there's going to be a mass rationalization of where investment is being spent, particularly when it comes to, you know, AI. But also I think a lot of people have been running at pace with their head down. And as soon as they look up, they're going to be looking across the organization going, oh my Lord, look how much has been rolled out in random pockets of the organization. Now we've got AI sprawl, tech debt.
Yeah.
This is the year where people are going to start getting governance under control and getting better visibility of what's been going on where, and coming back to the point earlier, if it's not adding value, switch it off. Yep. If it is adding value, double down on it.
Double down. And I think that's the thing, I think a lot of, I described last year really as a learning or an experimentation phase to see where the opportunities and better understand what some of the, like, you know, you went from generative AI to agentic to autonomous, and like people still trying to get their heads around where were the real opportunities and value out of those. And I think as the learning is now been discovered, now they can start actually applying in real ways to unlock the potential in the organization. But taking, it was described yesterday, you know, a thin slice or maybe a slice of the cake, but take the entire slice. Don't try and take too big of a wedge.
Just the freckle off the top.
Yeah, exactly. So, and because, you know, and then you're just touching the surface versus actually you need the entire stack.
But Pete, I really like licking the icing off the cake.
Hey, we can start there. We're going to leave that part.
So what are we going to do with the podcast? Are we taking it on the road?
Global, I think we're going to have to take it on the road, aren't we?
Change agent. Change global.
Yeah, correct. Domination, here we go. I think we have a fascinating story to tell. Like, you know, this is just extending our passion from transformation, working with customers. And, you know, and that's a big part about exciting what for me stepping into this role was, it's not just doing it for ServiceNow, it's setting the benchmark and showing our customers the real potential of our platform in a cross-functional way like never before. And I think if that's really exciting, you know, and I think, you know, but we can't do it if we can't demonstrate that, you know, we have to be able to demonstrate that value.
You got to take us with you, Pete, on the journey. And I we're going to drag you back as often as possible. I know you're going to have to come back and see your boys regularly. So
yeah.
No doubt we'll have you coming back seeing all our customers as well.
No, I'm excited.
I can't imagine you not meeting with customers every other day.
No, well, you know, as my boss, Kelly, will tell me, there is job one, which is to get everything done first. But I am, it's a big part of the organization, the Now on Now story. We know the success of this, and I'm really excited to show people the potential of what we can do. And the first part of that will come out at Knowledge, and then the door will open from there, I anticipate. But we have so much opportunity. And what I'm really encouraged about is talking to our stakeholder group. They're super engaged, and they really enjoy spending time with our team. And so that line of credibility gives me something easily to step into. Because if we didn't have that, it's much harder to step into that opportunity and ahead of us. But everyone's asking a lot of the same questions is, how do I use this? How do I unlock it? How do I go faster? And how do I get value? And how can I demonstrate that value, not just to myself, but to our customers?
Well, we're super excited. We're very proud that our Aussie boy has got a seat at the table over in the US, getting closer and closer to Bill's orbit. I'm not going to wish you all the luck because I know we're going to be chatting the whole way through.
We'll be chatting.
But I'm going to need some help. Good luck finding a really good coffee house.
Let's not talk about the move. It's been challenging.
Awesome. Yes. Well, how about I see you stateside for the next one?
Sounds like a plan.
Awesome. Thanks, Pete.
Been a pleasure, Kat.